Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
This is, again, the third Sunday in Advent, and we have lit the third candle, which is the little pink candle, and that is the shepherd's candle, or it's also known as the candle of joy. And in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 7, it says, And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and living in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And today we are talking about joy. We are talking about hope. We are talking about something that truly only those who can wait upon the Lord can understand and completely enjoy. And believe it or not, we haven't strayed from our study of Job. We're still studying Job. We're over in Job chapter 30, verses 22 through 24. Let me read that for you very quick. And Job said, "If you lift me up to the wind and cause me to ride, and if you dissolve me in a storm, for I know that you will bring me to death and to the house of the meeting for all living," talking about the future judgment, "yet does not one in a heap of ruins stretch out his hand, or in his disaster, therefore, cry out for help." And we're talking about just when everything seems to be going wrong about you, that you still have that ember of faith that causes you to cry out for help. Now, in this past week, I've been trying to get caught up on all of my responsibilities to all of the chaplains that are in the Texas wing, and I made comment about what the family had been going through about the passing of Terry and Joy's father, and the problems, the health problems that Terry's been having, and the other things that we've been going through, and I made the comment in my email that I feel kind of like Job. I'm just waiting for three friends to show up and start telling me what a terrible sinner I am. And one of my chaplains emailed me back young lady from the valley, and she said, Chaplain, I'll just come and sit on the ash heap with you, and I promise not to say a word. And so I got a little bit of encouragement about that. But we all go through problems, and when we look at Job's life, we see all that he's gone through, and then to fast forward 1,500 or 2,000 years to the time of the advent of Jesus Christ, to the time that this event that we just read about in Luke took place, these were not good times for the people of Israel. Because they were being occupied by a foreign army. And the Jews never took too kindly to foreign occupation. And you can see even going all the way back to the book of Judges, where the land would be occupied by a foreign power, and then they would pray to God, and God would raise up a deliverer, and they would throw off these yokes of bondage. And so it was the same way in the time of the birth of Jesus, where everybody was living under this oppressive rule of Rome. And it was not a pleasant thing to be occupied by the empire of Rome. They did have a policy that allowed a conquered nation to retain their religious practices, to continue worshiping the way that they wanted to, but the trade-off was that they were terribly, terribly oppressive. They had oppressive taxes. They had customs that were just cruel and inhumane. There was the rule that if a Roman soldier had been transferred from one location to another, I mean, he would have to walk there. It might take him several weeks. It might take him several months to walk to his new area of where he was being deployed. And it was a law in the Roman Empire that if a soldier came along and he was carrying all of his goods with him, his clothing and his armor and his weapons and all of that, and if he were to come upon somebody, he could force them to carry his luggage for a mile. And so the Jews didn't like that. They didn't like the fact that their army was subjugated to Rome's army. They didn't like that their laws were subjugated to Rome's laws. They didn't like anything about this conquering empire of Rome. And I can almost imagine what the discussion was between the shepherds as they sat about the campfire that night. The sheep had been settled down for the evening, and now they're just talking before it's time for them to take turns keeping watch over the sheep at night. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if the conversation kind of turned to politics, doesn't it, for everybody, everywhere down through the ages. And I can almost imagine them making the comment about, I wonder when these promises that have been made to us from the prophets of old, I wonder if that's ever going to take place. I wonder if there's any hope for us. Will we always be under the bondage of foreign occupation? And as they're sitting there bemoaning the status of their poor existence, then there appears an angel. And I like how God does things. I think if the whole group of angels showed up at one time, every one of the shepherds probably would have fallen over dead from a heart attack. Amen? God says, I'm just going to break it on them, just going to ease in there just a little bit. We'll send one angel. Send a little short angel. send a little tiny pretty looking angel or whatever. We don't want to send one of these great big warrior angels in there. It'll scare them half to death. And so the angel shows up and begins to tell them that, yes, God has heard the cries of his people. And God is sending me to let you know, to let you and except for just a few others, other people, only you know that tonight He is answering your prayers, and that tonight the Messiah is born. And then, as you know, they were, I'm imagining that they were just talking about this. Is this ever going to happen? Are we ever going to find freedom again? And all of a sudden this angelic being shows up and tells them, it's happening. Right now it's happening. And so they're starting to get excited, and then all of a sudden the hosts of heaven appear. And I'm sure it just fills up the night sky. Amen? I mean, we cannot even begin to imagine, even with all the special effects of Hollywood, we cannot begin to imagine just the awesomeness of the heavens open and God's angels beginning to sing the anthems of heaven. And I can't even, I mean, I probably just would have fainted dead away. That's it. Dale's out for the count. Wake me up when it's over, because it's just too much. But here are these angels singing glory to God on the highest. God is answering His prayer. He's true to His word, and He's true to His people. And then I like what, you know, the shepherds say after the angels had gone away in verse 15, and it came that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, you know, it's all over. This, what do you think it sounded like with the angels singing and proclaiming this wonderful news? I mean, you talk about surround sound. You know, a few years ago it was Dolby 5.1. Now they have Dolby 7.1, and all of this, you know, it just fills up the room. Can you imagine the whole countryside being filled up with this, with angelic choir? As when they'd gone away from them back up into heaven, then the shepherds began saying to one another, and I'm wondering how long it took. You know, like, you're sitting there, okay, is there going to be a curtain call? Are they coming back? You know, and I imagine they just sat there for, you know, several minutes, and finally they said, you know, let's go to Bethlehem. And I like what my Bible says, let us go straight to Bethlehem. Amen? I mean, our prayers have been answered. There is hope. And I don't want to stop by my uncle's house and let him know. I don't want to stop by anywhere. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has made known to us. See, they were just talking about, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob ever going to be true to those promises that He made? And all of a sudden, even though it was the angels that delivered the message, they understood this is God's answer to our prayer. Let's go see this thing. We've got to go see it. And just like Job was talking about, yet does not one in a heap of ruins. He's talking about you're in your house and there's an earthquake or something and it just falls in on you. Don't you still, underneath all of that pain and all of that pressure, don't you reach out your hand? Or in disaster, don't you cry out for help? And they're saying, this is exactly our nation is in ruins. We're in the midst of a disaster, and we've cried out for help. There's still hope. There's still joy. Amen. Amen? There's still joy and hope in Jesus. And so they rushed off to Bethlehem to see this thing. You know, we have this little nativity scene here, and over the years, nativity scenes have kind of evolved, and now we have some camels and donkeys and shepherds there. That's good, because the shepherds were there. Got three wise men there. Were they there on the night that Jesus was born?
No.
Took a couple years for them to show up. All right. I mean, they weren't there for a couple of years. When they showed up, Jesus, if you read the word, Jesus, Mary and Joseph with Jesus have already moved into a little house by the time that the wise men get there. But the king of Kings is born, and that's what this little this little nativity scene represents. And who is surrounding him but the simplest of people? You don't see any shopkeepers there. The shopkeepers had no room for Jesus. Okay, those who made their living through commerce, whether it was selling things or renting out rooms or whatever, they didn't have room for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. The middle class, the people with the money, they're not there. Where's the king and all the nobles? They're off in Jerusalem somewhere, telling the wise men, well, go tell us what you see and report back to us when you're done. You don't see any rich people there. Who do you see there? You see people just like us, the salt of the earth. You see people who have gone through and lived through and survived the heartaches that this life has to offer. And yet, we've come through the other side because we have hope. And even though we go through difficult times in our lives, we have the promises of God's Word. And these shepherds had the promise of God's Word that was seeing them through until the angel showed up and says, that promise has been met. That promise has been kept tonight in Bethlehem. And they weren't going to waste any time. They were going to get there and find out. You know, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, you know what? We don't mourn. We don't react to the situations around us like lost people do, because we are a people of hope. Amen? And if you have hope, you have joy. Hope brings joy. Lack of hope, loss of hope, brings despondence. Amen? But when you have hope, even if it's just a little bit of hope, you have joy. And so today, as we are preparing for the advent of Messiah, as we're preparing for the coming of God's salvation for the whole world, we have joy because we have hope. Amen? That Jesus loved us enough that He took on human form to die for us. Amen? As I said before a couple weeks ago, this is the beginning of the church calendar. For us, our new year begins on January 1st. But in the church, the new year begins on the first Sunday of Advent, because we're getting ready for the fulfillment of the promise of God's provision for a Savior, and then that goes all the way through to its fulfillment when we see that Savior hung on a cross for us. And, you know, a lot of people today, they can look at this little baby. Let me see if this little baby comes out here. There we go. They can look at this little baby, and that little baby, he doesn't look too intimidating, does he? Are anybody intimidated by this? No? Grace, are you intimidated? Still not intimidated? No, sorry, not intimidated by the little baby. That's right, this little baby in the manger, he doesn't demand much from us, does he? And so people can celebrate Christmas, and then go out and buy their toys and buy their gifts and put up all of the beautiful Christmas decorations and all the things. We've been going through some of the neighborhoods, and my goodness, I didn't know that some of this stuff was available. People have little merry-go-rounds and Ferris wheels and all sorts of stuff, music playing and all that. Because, see, the little baby in the manger doesn't intimidate you. That's just the little baby. But remember, this little baby grew up, and He became the sacrifice for our sins. And that's why you see the world trying to pervert what Easter is. It's not Easter bunnies and things like that. Amen. It's the resurrection of our Messiah. So, we have hope. I don't want to digress too far. We have hope. And because we have hope, we have joy. Amen? Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter what your living conditions are. Who did the angels appear to? Guys out camping in the field. I mean, they didn't have to roll out of bed to go see Jesus. They didn't have a bed that night. But the promise was given to people just like you and just like me. So tonight or today, let's have joy because we have hope. Amen? Father, thank you.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows where you choose to stand or fall. Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain, yeah, welcome to the shine.